sing Matthew, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the 12, anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. And those who welcome me welcome the one who has sent me. If you welcome a prophet in the name of a prophet, you will be blessed. If you welcome a righteous person in the name of a righteous person, you will receive righteousness. If you give even a cup of cold water to a little one like this, you will be blessed. If you give even a cup of cold water in the name of a righteous person, you will in every way receive righteousness. That's the good news, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Some of you probably know that in my younger years, I had decided that I was going to become a professional musician. I played the piano, played the organ. In fact, I started playing the organ for church when I was about 11. And so, you know, by the time I was 12, I was practically a professional. And I could sing, so I thought, you know, that'd be a great profession. Lots of fame and fortune and all of that. And that all changed when I went to the only church camp I ever went to. I'll make a long story short, but I was sitting at the campfire listening to a pastor preach a sermon. And I can't tell you that I heard a voice. I can't tell you that I saw anything unusual. But there was something within me that all at once I realized my plan wasn't God's plan. That I felt the presence of Jesus calling me in a different direction. Hence the title of my sermon, Our Plan or God's Plan. We all make big plans. But the question is, how do we know when our plan and God's plan are not the same? What do we do? Paul Stuckey from Peter, Paul, and Mary wrote a song that became popular and famous for a while. Oops, we're falling apart here. And in his song, it was called The Day Is Done. And as they were preparing, as they had just recorded it and were getting ready to put it out, he had a religious experience. And he wanted to change the refrain. But it was too late. As far as the publishing company or the producers were concerned, they didn't want to change it because it changed the meaning of the word. But this is the way the song went as he presented it, or as he wanted to. Tell me why you're crying, my son. I know you're frightened like everyone. Is it the thunder in the distance you fear? Will it help if I stay very near? I am here. And if you take his hand, my son, all will be well when the day is done. And if you take his hand, my son, all will be well when the day is done. I am sighing, my son. You shall inherit what mankind has done. In a world filled with sorrow and woe, if you ask me why this is so, I really don't know. And if you Well, there's more to that song, but hope that will stay. The question is, how do we take our plan and allow God to mold us into the plan that He has for us? What does it take to follow God's way instead of our own way? That was the problem Jeremiah had in our first reading. Jeremiah is preaching to a people in Judah who have already gone through by this time. Last week we talked about their first exile in 587 BC when Nebuchadnezzar came down from Babylon and carried many of the people off into exile. And Jeremiah got slapped down for even considering trying to talk to the king. Remember, Jeremiah is that weeping prophet who is a reluctant prophet, doesn't really want to do it, but he has to go to the king and tell him, the way you're living, the way you're leading our nation into idolatry is false and not good. Well, now the first exile has taken place, a new king, Zedekiah, is in place, and now the same thing is going on. The false prophets are telling the king what he wants to hear. You know, it's kind of like many political leaders who, you know, they want somebody who will be yes man and tell them what they want to hear, not what is what God wants them to hear. For instance, with Jeremiah, is the king at that time has been leading the people into idolatry, into pagan worship, allowing that to take place, and the false prophet is saying, it's okay, you can dabble in that, and God really doesn't mind. And as we said last week, they were of the opinion, we are God's people. God won't let anything happen to us. It doesn't matter what we do. Jeremiah said, that is not true. That is a lie. And for that, of course, they threw him in prison. They threw him in a well. They did all kinds of nasty things to him. But Jeremiah said, there are some ways in which we know what is the will of God. Now, we've all heard of Son of Sam and some of the and the Manson and some of the other mass killers who have claimed that they did it because God told them to. God told me to go kill that person. God told me to do this or that. One of the rules of thumb which we can live by is that God never tells anyone to break one of God's laws. Let that sink in. God never tells anyone to break one of the commandments. If you're hearing that word, I need to go out and stomp on somebody, or I need to go out and steal something, or whatever, ask yourself, is that in keeping with God's will? If it's not, it's not the word of God. It's all the word of a false prophet. The second thing that comes up that Jeremiah points to is the fact that if the word of the prophet comes true, it is truly a word of God. Jeremiah already knew that Judah was going to fail, that they were going, the ones in exile were not going to be coming home, but more would be going into exile. The word of the prophet would not hold. The Apostle Paul deals with something similar with false teachers within the church who are of the opinion that, as we said last week again, the more you sin, the more God can forgive you. So, you know, the more you sin, the more grace can come upon you. Isn't that great? We can do whatever we want. But Paul says, no, that doesn't work that way. The wages of sin have never changed. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of eternal life is God's gift to us. We are called upon to be God's people, living by God's law and living by God's love. and sharing that. When Jesus talks to his disciples and he says, if anyone welcomes you, they welcome me, and if anybody welcomes me, they welcome the one who sent me. But it's the cup of cold water that sometimes people wonder, well, is that all I have to do is give a cup of cold water to somebody who's thirsty? Well, Jesus knew that the wells of that day were really deep. And that children, for instance, couldn't put the bucket down and lift up a bucket of water. Somebody had to do it for them. And there are many people in the world who are in that boat, not in getting a bucket of water out of a well, but in any kind of life. That's why we participate in the food pantry, why we participate in Meals on Wheels and disaster relief. Those kinds of things where other people don't have that simple cup of cold water, the simple things that they really need. Jesus encourages them to give that so that we can share it with others who don't have it. There is a song in the book, if you want to follow along with it. It's hymn number 760. I'm just going to sing one verse. But it reminds us that Christ didn't come and give us simply a cup of cold water. He gave us even more. Oh God, Christ the same, through all our story's pages, our loves and hopes and failures and our fears. Eternal Lord, the King of all the ages, unchanging still amid the passing years. O living Word, the source of all Jesus is pointing to throughout this gospel and throughout the scriptures is that he came not just with a cup of water, but with his own body, his blood, his word, his very life, so that we would have life. Our problem often comes in that we somehow think that we can earn what Jesus has already done. A doctor was at the bedside of a woman who was dying. He had had to tell the woman's son that she probably wouldn't make it through the night. The son said, well, boy, I sure hope she's paid her dues. And the doctor said, you know, I've just given you bad news. But what you've said is even worse news. Your mother can in no way pay the dues that are required. I hope that you're not planning to get into heaven by what you do. Fact is, I have given my hands, my head, my skills as a doctor, not in order to get into heaven, but as a thank you to God. Because I know that what needs to be done so that I can get into heaven has been done by Jesus Christ. He will make certain that you will get into heaven. You cannot do it on your own. So the gift of God that comes to us is the gift that keeps on giving. A gift that says, In Jesus' name, we have been forgiven. In Jesus' name, we will be welcomed into his kingdom. What we do with that is our response. That is our choice. Remember when Neil Armstrong stepped on the moon for the first time, stepped out of the Eagle and onto the moon? He said, "One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." What most people don't realize is that, well, they probably do, outside of that spacesuit, he would have died. He could not have lived. And he had to submit himself to that suit. And I learned the hard way what that meant. When our kids were 10 and 12, we took them to Universal Studios in California. And they were doing a short video simulation of the moonwalk, of spacewalking. And for some reason, every time they were asking for an adult volunteer, my kids volunteered me. And so I was volunteered to be one of those, I think there were three of us, who were walking in space. And they put us in these space suits that were hooked onto a cable so that our feet weren't even on the ground. We were hanging there in air. And those suits are very uncomfortable, and they're hard to manipulate through our earpiece, because we couldn't see anything, or you know, we couldn't really talk. They would tell us what we needed to do: move your right arm, move your left arm, walk. Well, in a suit like that, the tendency is to want to kick, not walk. And they'd say, "Don't kick. Walk." Well, the suit is heavy and it's awkward and it's really hard. You really had to submit to not only what the people were saying in your ear, but to what the suit would allow you to do. Sometimes we feel that with God's word, that we are called upon to submit to a word that's uncomfortable, that isn't according to our plan. But God calls us to be a part of his plan, to walk in his way, to live in his life, so that we too can experience the joy of sharing our lives with him. You see, that's really the good news. And it's the good news that we share this day, knowing that Christ has called us to be his own wherever we are. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.